Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, 610 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. So President Trump's tariffs are generating how much money, let's say, a month? You want to take a swing at this, John? Give me a ballpark of how much money we're earning as a country on President Trump's tariffs in, let's say, the month of June.
$1
billion. $30
billion. 30?
30.
I thought I was being really high.
I know you were. You thought like a billion. Oh, I'm going to way overshoot, right?
Wow.
$30 billion, according to CNN.
Whoa.
Yeah, CNN. Headline, Trump's tariffs are bringing in tens of billions of dollars a month. What's the government doing with all that money? So the U.S. government collected nearly $30 billion in tariff revenue last month, per the Treasury Department. And that is a 242% jump in tariff revenue compared to last July.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
gosh, I have to think about this math for a second. But that would mean that the prior year was maybe more in the $10 billion, not quite, $8 billion a month tariffs. Okay. Since April, when the president began imposing a 10% tariff across nearly all goods, among several other steeper levies that followed, the government has collected a total of, now that you know it's $30 billion in just June, you want to take a stab at since April?
Since April, 180.
Just 100. You overshot, see?
I was trying to give the benefit of the doubt.
$100 billion, or wow. What I would say is about six aircraft carriers. I like to measure big money in aircraft carriers because, what else are you going to say? It's like, it's four GDPs of Miami. Like, people can't wrap their brain around this much money. It's impossible. So aircraft carriers, you get that an aircraft carrier is really expensive, somewhere in the $15 billion vicinity. I mean, the price is always changing because they're very expensive. But, you know, so for the money that we generated on tariffs or that people paid in tariffs since April, we can buy six aircraft carriers. Now, you can't buy six aircraft carriers because who's going to build them? We don't have the shipbuilding capability. But theoretically, you get the point. So what happens with all of that money? Well, Trump has floated kind of two possibilities. You've heard this rumor, send us a dividend check.
Yeah, the rebate check.
Yeah, send us a rebate. Just, take the amount of money, divide it by $300 million and send out checks, right? Or $330 million. Or households or taxpayers or however you want to do it. And I'm sure we'll be complained about as a discriminatory measure, but whatever. The other is that we can use it to pay down the debt. I vote for option two, personally. I mean, $100 billion in 3 months is not... if you've got a $1.3 trillion debt, okay, I know math on the radio, but that's 1,300 billions. So you generally think of paying down the debt as this hopeless black hole of nothing can change it. But if you put $100 billion into paying down a $1.3 billion deficit, it's different from the debt, which is the debt is, what is it, 35?
Oh, yeah,
trillion.
It's way
up there. Ridiculous, yeah. But I know there's a debt clock. It's over 30 trillion. I know that. Anyway, you do that this quarter, you do that next quarter, you do that the quarter after that, and you've suddenly taken the deficit from that's the amount we spend versus how much we make every year. You've chopped that down from 1.3 trillion to maybe 1 trillion, which is not small money. That's a big deal. So right now they're just hanging on to it. I don't know exactly. It's just sitting there. Wait, like there's a pile of $100 billion in, what, fives and tens?
I was thinking ones, now, but we could,
Yeah. Now, the problem is that the revenue is being collected through tariffs. The argument is this is not a real benefit to the U.S. because it slows the economy because prices go up. People spend less. Companies shrink. Employment decreases in certain sectors that are tariff-based. For example, Crocs, I think, are, they're getting like a 30% tariff, like that kind of stuff and things, so people don't spend as much on them. But it's the part of the Trump tariffs that we don't talk about a lot is the fact that he's right. There's billions and billions and billions of dollars coming in. The question is what to do with it. If you look at a chart of the tariff revenue by month over the last, gosh, I don't know. This is a chart for about 5 years. It's flat, 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 up to the roof. You know, it's the very technical term you use for it's Al Gore's old scissor lift chart. It's the carbon dioxide chart.
Oh,
it's constant,
yes.
constant, and boing, all the way. Except this is actual data, and that was nonsense. 6:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Why would Pete Buttigieg, the wokest of woke people, get canceled? I'll tell you next in the Transgressors Memorial Service.
What?
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Wow. Back to rolling accident free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good along with 90, 98. Even Highway 29 is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Saturday, August 16th, come to the Sneak Peek Land Sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 plus acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. That's right, get 20 to 50 plus acres in Baldwin County from just $139.9 with excellent financing available. Ranches at Creekside Preserve features private large acreage tracts with beautiful woodlands, rolling meadows, and a peaceful creek, all surrounded by pristine natural beauty and abundant wildlife. It's your opportunity to live in Baldwin County, Alabama, one of the fastest growing coastal counties in the U.S. due to low taxes and a low cost of living. Don't miss out. Come to the Sneak Peek Land Sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 plus acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. Call 877-888-1415 or visit creeksidepreserveal.com. creeksidepreserveal.com.
Sometimes an identity threat is a ring of professional hackers. And sometimes it's an overworked accountant who forgot to encrypt their connection while sending bank details.
I need a coffee.
And you need LifeLock, because your info is in endless places. It only takes one mistake to expose you to identity theft. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman. Brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Pete Buttigieg, the former Transportation Secretary under the Most Holy One, His Eminence St. Barak, the first of his name. But of course, the real reason Pete is so famous is that he was the first openly gay presidential candidate to win a primary, and then the first Senate-confirmed cabinet member who was openly LGBTQ2SIA+#4B. Yes, we know Janet Reno was probably at least L, if not more, but this was never confirmed openly, so it does not count. And of course, Pete Butt, as we like to call him, despite being an almost untouchable member of our order, sort of a made gay man, if you might say, has recently broken ranks by trying to, and I say this with the greatest of personal pain, destroy the glorious and harmonious unity of the holy acronym string. following on the heels of the apostate Rahm Emanuel's now infamous embrace of the total heresy that women cannot become men, NPR's Morning Edition asked Pete Budd about transgender athletes. And I warn you, this is very painful to hear. Comfort plushies and anxiety blankets are in the back of the sanctuary if you need them.
Most reasonable people would recognize that there are serious fairness issues if you just treat this as not mattering when a trans athlete wants to compete in women's sports.
Meaning the parent who's complained about this has a case, in your opinion.
Sure.
I could not believe he said it. And right there on NPR in front of Gaia and everybody, to acknowledge the transphobes may have a point was so horrifying, but it got worse.
Chess is different from weightlifting, and weightlifting is different from volleyball, and middle school is different from the Olympics. So that's exactly why I think that we shouldn't be grandstanding on this as politicians. We should be empowering communities and organizations and schools to make the right decision.
So now, in addition to denying the existence of trans women, because if they exist, they're women, and if they are women, they should be in women's sports, duh, Pete Budd is saying different sports, skill levels, and even layers of government might have different nuanced answers to this basic question of human rights? No, sir, Mr. Gay. Human rights are human rights, no matter what sport, no matter what level. And for you to say otherwise is hurtful. You have exposed a long-hidden crack in the middle of the holy acronym string's essence. You are reminding people that sexual orientation and gender identity are not really the same thing. In fact, are not even all that closely related. But for years, we have deliberately been ignoring this by mashing all the letters and numbers and symbols together into one giant holy rainbow safe space. For you to acknowledge that lesbian, gay, and bisexual are one sort of concept, and that transgender and intersex are another, and that two-spirit questioning and asexual might each be their own third, fourth, and fifth thing, is to strike a blow at the very heart of our artificial alliance of alternativity. As you know, all too well, allowing such divisions, allowing such questions, is directly incompatible with membership in our wisdom collective. So Secretary Buttigieg, or as some people call you, Michael Cera, if he were a man, we hereby cast thee out and cancel thee without prejudice, since of course everything we do is fully prejudice-free. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, as much as we are pained to bring you the excommunication of Pete Budd, there is a bright line at the end of this transgender tunnel of alternative love, and that brightest of lights comes from none other than the bravely cultural avant-garde of USA Fencing, Minnesota. As most of you already know, President Hates a Lot has ordered transgender women out of women's sports. As a result, USA Fencing has now an official policy prohibiting fencers identified male at birth from competing in women's divisions. This, of course, followed similar recent policy changes by the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic committees. Disgusting. But sometimes there are still heroes. USA Fencing Minnesota, or UFM, as we will call them, rightly called this capitulation harmful and reaffirmed their commitment to protecting so-called biological men in their right to compete against so-called biological women. Their solution? This is so clever. They will only sanction mixed-gender events from now on. That's right, no more men's or women's divisions, no more separate but equal. All will fence against all, and may the best man, woman, or other win. Of course, we absolutely adore this decision because finally someone is challenging the sexism at the heart of traditional sports, the very idea that men and women are different and that women are inferior to men, thus necessitating protecting them from competing against men. Do you not see how insulting it is to tell a 5'10" female volleyball star that it's unfair to let a 6'9" male volleyball star compete against her? Do you not grasp how wrong it is to have a WNBA and a separate NBA when what we should have is just BA? Finally, women everywhere can prove they're just as good at everything as men, starting with fencing. Now look, we know some of you are afraid the men will simply outperform the women, and this will lead to women being excluded from sports, which they can't win at, which will only reinforce the patriarchal premise of male physical superiority. But dear otherin, don't you see that if it turns out that men consistently outfence women in direct competition, that will not prove male superiority? Quite the contrary. It will once and finally prove that fencing is systemically sexist. I mean, if men can consistently beat women at the activity, then it must be sexist. And if other sports have the same result, it will prove they are sexist too. And after exposing this, it will let us rewrite the rules of sport to expunge the misogyny at the heart of anything that denies the obvious fact that men and women are equal, interchangeable, and indistinct, just as nature herself shows. Now, some foolish heretics will say the only way you can discriminate against women in sport is if there actually is some difference between men and women that the rules could favor, and that seeing this proved once and for all will force us to concede there are differences. Not so, dear Otherin. For we know that we are so adept at denying reality in favor of ideology that we're very well equipped to deny and blame shift like the pros we are, especially since it will allow us to loudly and frequently accuse anyone who disagrees with us of being male chauvinist pigs and sexist defenders of the patriarchy. So well done, USA Fencing Minnesota, and thank you for showing us the path toward a gender-blind society where we can blindly force everyone to not see the differences between men and women. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our most delicately constructed crepe paper tambourine with gossamer tassels of tenderness for Manny Hernandez, the breathwork practitioner from Chicago who has created one of the most powerful forces for good in our modern society, the Lake Michigan Scream Club. Yes, every Sunday evening, hundreds of agitated, frustrated, angry, pent-up millennials gather on the concrete shore of the Windy City for a few minutes of intense catharsis. Step one, they write their woes as intentions on specially designed biodegradable slips of paper. Step two, they intentionally focus on achieving nirvana. Step three, they decisively crumple the paper and breathe in. Step four, they hurl their painful but bio-friendly intention crumples into the water and emit whatever scream expresses their emotions authentically at that moment, fearlessly. Step five, they repeat this two more times. Step six, breathing heavily, perhaps sweating from the exertion, they smile, relax, and turn to one another in serene self-satisfaction for a hug or a nod of encouragement, or perhaps even the occasional offer to go consume some medical marijuana, dye each other's hair a new color, and get naked, and just see what happens. Relief and love are definitely in the air. So what does it sound like? Prepare yourselves for one of the most beautiful sounds you will ever hear, the authentic and soothing sound of pure wokeness. Is that not one of the most comforting and invigorating things you've ever heard? I know, me too. This is most definitely the sort of thing that only an expert in the field, the rest of us have no idea how to do right, like breathing, could invent.
What I've seen, people have been really excited to just be able to cathartically scream at the top of their lungs, and they feel good about it.
And yes, the community of screamers is drawn into each other's arms for comfort, companionship, and perhaps more.
There's tears. There are people who, as soon as they let go of that first scream, we do three, they're already crying, they're hugging each other.
So in a world that produces so much pent-up stress and anxiety, in a world that tells you to keep it all inside, the Windy City Scream Club and Breather-in-Chief Manny Hernandez tell you to stand on the ledge of Lake Michigan and let it all exhale. For all of you who don't have prayer to a deity or a holy text to read or confession or communion or a place to meet for praise and worship and fellowship, for all who find no comfort in the time-tested ways of organized religion, we offer you a new ritual, the Holy Sacrament of Collective Outburst. It's a new liturgy for a new day, a cacophony of catharsis. Yes, dear Otherin, we will scream, we will rage, we will breathe and exhale the holy spirits of angst and frustration, and afterward, we will hug it out and cry together for love, for hope, for clicks. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
628 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I should call them brethren. Instead of John Pickens, that's traffic for you, John.
I still we need to talk to someone. There were not enough plushies in the back of the auditorium.
I mean, you do run short a little bit. Yeah
so we need to make a committee for that.
But there's always the comfort blanket.
Those were gone too.
All right.
Okay. All right. So the only issue we're dealing with right now is on North Davis Highway and Klinger Street. We've got a light that is malfunctioning out there, so just be aware of that. Let's see, I-10, I-110 are all looking good. No accidents to report. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. President Trump directing the Commerce Department to start working on the 2026 census. He said yesterday that people who are in the U.S. illegally should not be counted in this special census, which would be used to determine congressional representation. It was not scheduled, of course, until 2030. A man accused of killing two Israeli embassy staffers in Washington, D.C. earlier this year will be in court later today. Elias Rodriguez, he's been indicted on murder and federal hate crime charges. Rodriguez allegedly shot and killed Yaron Lashinsky and Sarah Milgram outside of the Capitol Jewish Museum in May. And the FAA says it's planning to hire nearly 9,000 air traffic controllers over the next 3 years. The agency released a plan Thursday showing how it will address a shortage of air traffic controllers in the U.S. They did add that they expect to have only about 1,000 additional controllers by the end of 2028.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I have some really interesting tech stories coming up next. We have a technology and AI in the news, and it's a little bit scary. So there you go. And did you see the one about how maybe Andy Byron, the CEO ousted from The Astronomer, the video of Coldplay, might sue Coldplay?
What?
Jalousy. After an almost 10-hour meeting, Israel's security cabinet has approved Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's plan to occupy Gaza City, bucking the advice of the Israeli military. The prime minister telling Fox's Bill Hemmer he plans to take control of all of Gaza.
I don't want to occupy Gaza forever. I don't want to govern Gaza. I want to have a different governance there that basically is willing to live in peace with Israel and give Gazans a different future.
Hamas calling that a war crime. Texas Democrats have to return to the Lone Star State today or face consequences after they fled to boycott the redistricting vote.
If they do not show up, we will be in an Illinois courtroom trying to do just that, not necessarily trying to handcuff them, but get them back to the state of Texas, hold them in contempt, and if they refuse to come, hopefully put them in jail.
State Attorney General Ken Paxton on Fox. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, 75 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. We'll get to our forecast with Channel 3 in just a few minutes. A former art teacher at an Escambia County middle school has been sentenced to 54 years in prison for sex crimes involving a student. 63-year-old Winston Foster was convicted on charges of lewd and lascivious battery and unlawful activity with certain minors. He worked as a teacher at Woodham Middle School starting in 2005 and transferred to Beulah Middle School in 2018. The victim filed a complaint in 2022 and said that the sexual relationship between her and Foster began in 2017 when she was only 15 and lasted until she was 17. Foster was accused of having sex with the girl at his home and in the school's supply closet. He was fired from the school district after he was arrested February of 2023. A Honduran man's been sentenced to 15 years in prison for a fatal DUI crash on Gonzalez Street last July. 21-year-old Wilter Samianto Perdomo was sentenced after pleading guilty to DUI manslaughter. His driver's license was also revoked for life, and he'll be held for ICE when he's released from prison. The night of the crash, Perdomo drove off the road and hit a tree. His passenger died at the scene. He was also critically injured. Officials said his blood alcohol level was more than twice the legal limit. Pensacola State College is now designated as a Purple Heart College. The school held a ceremony yesterday recognizing military and veteran students and staff members.
We have probably about 20% of our total student population are in some shape, form, or manner associated with the military, either as an active duty military person, a veteran, or a member of the family of a veteran or active military person. So,
school president Dr. Ed Meadows, recognizing veterans is personal for him as he grew up in a military family. His father was a career soldier in the Army, his son a major in the Army. Meadows says PSC is made up of people who care and says it's important for an institution of higher learning to take care of its veteran population. Now, Ashley Moody says she supports the White House in its efforts to arrest the Venezuelan president. Attorney General Pam Bondi announcing yesterday the U.S. is offering a $50 million reward for information leading to the arrest of Nicolas Maduro. Senator Moody said that Maduro is trying to flood the U.S. with drugs and terrorize the people of Venezuela. She said the reward makes it clear that the Trump administration will hold Maduro accountable. Well, Rick Scott addressing what he's calling an alarming threat posed by smart devices. Scott announcing yesterday that he has introduced the Protect the Grid Act, which is directed at high-wattage smart devices produced or controlled by China and other foreign adversaries. Scott says internet-connected appliances like smart ovens and laundry appliances can come with embedded software controlled by companies affiliated with China's government. He says it could give China an avenue to infiltrate or disrupt the U.S. electric grid. Scott's bill calls on the Commerce Department to investigate those allegations. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you are on Davis Highway right in front of the West Florida Hospital, the light is flashing. So people need to slow down and drive slowly through that area so that nurses, doctors, and admin personnel can cross the road safely. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And it is 6:35 here. Let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3 this morning.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. 20% chance of a stray shower today. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. Going into Saturday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 77. For Sunday, 50% chance of rain, high near 90 and a low near 76. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And it's 75, looking like a beautiful Friday morning. For News Radio 92.3, I'm David Wayne.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were little changed this morning as investors weighed a week of tariff developments and their effect on the economy. The 10-year Treasury yield was less than a basis point higher at 4.25%, while the 30-year Treasury yield was just over one basis point higher to 4.824%. Oil prices are moderately higher as tariffs cloud demand outlook. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $64.25 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $66.88 per barrel. Munich Re shares have tumbled this morning after the reinsurer cut its revenue guidance for the year. The company's chief financial officer, Christopher Jureka, told CNBC that the tariff environment is not affecting its commitment to the U.S. and warned of an upward trend in large losses from natural disasters. Futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 224, the NASDAQ up 73, the S&P 500 down 5. Once again, futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Tune in Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, as Regeneration Station will talk about how they can help relieve individuals with severe pain with their latest in scalar and biophotonic energy room, which can allow cell regeneration, improve immune function, detoxify the body, elevate moods, and assist in balancing right and left hemispheres of the brain to increase energy levels. It's the Regeneration Station, Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? I designed your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
You know what I was just thinking about, John? Because I just made this yesterday, the day before, the AI tech update stager.
Right.
I should have asked AI to make me one and see what kind of nonsense it came up with. And then if it came up with a better one than mine did, I'd have to quit my job. Okay, so I have what's not going to be a very exciting story, but it is a true thing about AI and tech. Here goes. AP does a report. They do a story. ChatGPT will tell 13-year-olds how to get drunk and get high.
What?
It will instruct them on how to conceal eating disorders, and it will compose, this is really awful, it'll compose a heartbreaking suicide letter to their parents if asked, according to new research.
No.
AP reviewed more than 3 hours of interactions between ChatGPT and researchers posing as vulnerable teens. The chatbot typically provided warnings against risky activity. But after warning you not to do it, it then went on to deliver startlingly detailed and personalized plans for drug use, calorie restriction diets, or self-injury. The researchers at the Center for Countering Digital Hate also repeated their inquiries on a larger scale, classifying more than half of ChatGPT's 1,200 responses as dangerous. We wanted to test the guardrails, as according to Imran Ahmed, the group CEO. The visceral initial response is, "Oh my Lord, there are no guardrails."
Yeah.
The rails are completely ineffective. They're barely there. If anything, a fig leaf. OpenAI says, "Oh, we're working on it."
Right.
And of course, you know, what happens is like people are turning to AI more and more. They don't know who to ask. They don't know who to call. They don't have a counselor, a good friend, a parent that they feel they can trust. So they ask. I mean, this is how it's going. You know, people are having like, you know, fake girlfriends. I mean, not the OnlyFans kind, but the AI kind. Like that's coming. More so, more and more. A whole other story there, by the way. But, you know, they're trying to focus on getting these kind of scenarios right. But, you know, the CEO says he was most appalled after reading a three emotionally devastating suicide notes that ChatGPT generated for the fake profile of a 13-year-old girl with one letter tailored to her parents and others to siblings and friends.
I'm speechless.
Right. He says he started crying.
Oh, I bet.
Thinking about it. The chat, to be fair, also often shared helpful information like crisis hotline. And they're trying to get, you know, OpenAI says that ChatGPT is trained to encourage people to reach out to mental health professionals or trusted loved ones. You know, it's funny. There's all kinds of things that if you just ask it, it'll say, "I can't answer that." Or I'm not equipped to answer that, or, you know, I'm sorry. But when it comes to this, more than 70% of teens are turning to AI chatbots for companionship and half use AI companions regularly. Half.
Wow.
According to a recent study from Common Sense Media. So yeah, this is extraordinarily bad. So, man, and yeah, I don't know. I don't want to read anymore. It's just awful. I have more uplifting.
Praise be to the Lord yeah, on that right. one.
Here's one headline: doctors are because you know AI is being used in medicine more, right? Commonly, and some of the data indicates that the bots do better than the humans, and that you know. Part of the problem is humans have biases and blind spots, whatever. So now we have, it's not that big of a problem, but you've got an AI model dubbed Med Gemini that worked on brain scans from the radiology lab and managed to completely invent a non-existent structure in the human brain as a referential point for its diagnoses.
Oh, really?
You know how they have hallucinations? They say right. AI has hallucinations and it makes stuff up. It identified an old left basilar ganglia infarct, inferring to a purported part of the brain, basilar ganglia that simply doesn't exist in the human body.
Wow.
Board certified Brian Moore, neurologist Brian Moore, flagged the issue to The Verge, highlighting that Google should fix its blog post about the AI, but failed to revise the research paper itself underlying all of this. The AI likely conflated basal ganglia, an area of the brains that's associated with motor movements and habit formation, and the basilar artery, a major blood vessel at the base of the brainstem. And yeah, they're similar, a couple of letters different. But, you know, in medicine, those couple of letters are kind of a big deal.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're trying to train the AI to be, you know, smarter and not, you know, make up body structures.
Wow.
That exist.
Wow.
I got one more for you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. The light in front of West Florida Hospital is flashing on Davis Highway. People need to slow down at that light so the nurses, admin, and doctors can cross the street safely, cross Davis Highway safely. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. All right. Third one. Ready?
Ready.
Why not? Okay, John, I'm going to do a test with you.
Oh, no.
I'm going to show you something that the audience cannot see, so it's not really fair, but let's make it a little bit larger so that you can see. I want you to take a look at this woman.
Okay.
Okay. Blonde with brunette roots. Gorgeous. Young, what, 25, maybe 30 at most?
Right.
Okay, fantastic. She's being featured in Vogue magazine. You know, Vogue famous, of course, for all of its beautiful people. And that one is AI generated.
Excuse
me? That woman does not exist. Seraphine Valora, AI generated image.
What?
In August's print edition of Vogue. They print edition magazines still? I don't know. Anyway, okay, fine, whatever. I guess you got to put something in the doctor's office. In August's print edition of Vogue, a guess advertisement, you know, for the company.
Right.
The gene maker, et cetera. Advert features a flawless blonde model showing off a striped maxi dress and floral play suit from the brand's summer collection. In small print in one corner, the ad reveals that she was created using AI. Vogue says AI was not, use of this model was not an editorial decision. It's the first time an AI-generated person has been featured in the magazine.
This is nuts.
So the model, yeah, so the models aren't thrilled, like the real life models aren't thrilled.
Well, yeah.
Because if you can, you know, fake AI generate a girl.
I think you need to post that picture so people can see. I really do.
I'll post a story.
Yeah, you have to.
Let's see. The folks behind this, the folks who developed it, they say that AI images on their Instagram page are lacking in diversity because they're all white hot chicks. They're not plump. They're not
regular
black.
Women.
They're not, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're mainstream white models. They all look like that. And they say also they promote unrealistic beauty standards. They say they've tried to be more inclusive, but the users don't engage much with the other posts, which, you know, people will gravitate towards the things they find attractive, and you can't force them to believe that something that they don't like is something they should like. That's sort of normal. Here, keep trying these beans. I don't want beans. I want hot white chicks. I mean, you know, think of like the alternate models, for
right?
Like the jeans ad for Sydney Sweeney or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, people want Sydney Sweeney. We've posted AI images of women with different skin tones. People do not respond to them. We don't get any traction or likes on those images as well. Vogue's decision to include an AI-generated advert has caused a stir on social media. One user writing on X, wow, as if the beauty expectations weren't unrealistic enough. Here comes AI to make them more impossible. Even models can't compete with the AI. Well, I mean, you know pictures in magazines themselves are not real, right?
They're not.
Well, I mean, it might be.
They're like photoshopped or whatever. Yeah,
yeah,
they're
touched
up.
You take an already impossibly beautiful woman. You artificially stage her. You put makeup in all the right places to emphasize whatever you want to emphasize. You then take 1,000 photos. You pick one. You enhance that one. And you publish it. No real woman, not even she in real life, can compete with the picture of her in the magazine.
You're right.
And now you're just digitally inventing people.
Amazing.
Cool. I will say this. There is one part of me that's less outraged by the fact that we might be losing the modeling industry, because the modeling industry is pretty lurid. And, you know, if maybe we can find something for these beautiful women to do other than modeling, maybe that's a healthier culture. And maybe then we don't have the predation that goes on inside of modeling, because you can't predate the AI. It's not all downside. It's mostly downside. And, of course, for the body image and all that kind of stuff and the unfair comparisons. And I mean, that's all definitely a problem. So, yeah. Happy days. 6:50 here on News Radio 92.3, informative local. What did I see an article the other day? It said that James Cameron is warning that AI is on the verge of being really dangerous to us. I mean, the guy who brings you the Terminator. You know?
Right.
Like, he would know, and he's right. Oh, and yes, by the way, I've had a couple people text in. I'm so sorry. The app is not working, and so streaming is not available. You got to get us over the radio today. All the radio stations are working, so 92.3, 95.3, 1620 on AM. But yeah, you got to go back to the old mechanisms, at least for now. We just made a switch in who provides the stream through our app, and apparently that's not working. But, you know, Bobby's on it. He's working on it this morning, so hopefully we'll get that figured out fairly soon. But yeah, I know for now the app is down, so you got to listen to me the old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned
way. That's right. Get out your radio, get in your car, the other way.
Crank it up, you know.
Crank it up. Yeah, you use your emergency radio, your NOAA radio. Why not? 437-1620. But the good news, the text line's working. So
that's right. We try.
God opens the door and closes the window, or however that phrase goes. If you're thinking...
closes the window?
I guess it's closes the door and opens the window, which I always thought was a funny metaphor, because, you know, if you're trying to go in through the door, I'm not sure the window's your solution.
What,
or if you're trying to go out through the door, the window's definitely not your answer. Anyway... back to what I was going to do. If you're speaking of doors and windows and home repairs.
Oh,
see,
look at that. Good
yeah.
job.
Pensacola Hardware, great place to get good quality supplies. You know, they might not be the cheapest. It's true. I mean, if what you want to do is save a buck on this transaction, you might go somewhere else. They might have a better deal too. But, you know, they're not going out of their way to have the cheapest things, because, you know, you get what you pay for. And if you buy it cheaply and then you have to replace it, and you buy it cheaply again, you replace it and you buy it cheaply again, you could have just bought a good one for, I don't know, maybe half again the price or twice the price, but it would have lasted you the whole time, and then you're not behind overall, right? I mean, you get that. But also, their goal is to provide quality. And also, their goal is to make sure you know how to use it, because a lot of times they're selling things that if you use them wrong, they can be dangerous. I mean, it's a hardware store. And so they might ask you, you know, hey, have you done this before? And they want to know, because they want to help you make sure you know how to do it properly or use it properly or know what the right ratio to mix it is or whatever the case may be. I mean, it's not just that they sell stuff, but they're there for the advice. They're there to help make sure you do it right, whether you're a pro building things for a living or whether you're a total amateur like me fixing or repairing something. That's the point. They are there for you. Pensacola Hardware, 174 years helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Sportsman's Night Out is back, and it's bigger than ever. This year, it's a new date and more giveaways than ever before. You could win a brand new camper, a four-wheeler, a side-by-side, hunting trips, fishing gear, and even a brand new car. It all goes down September 11th at the Pensacola Bay Center. Tickets? Just $10. But don't wait. They will sell out. Grab yours now at sportsmansnightout.com. Sportsman's Night Out, September 11th. Presented by Carpenter's Campers, Parrish Tractor, Penton's Auto Trim, Sandy Sansing Automotive, and Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite band. This week, the Yardlights take the stage, a three-piece folk rock band from the Florida Panhandle whose members bring many years of writing, recording, and live shows to its forte. Don't miss the Gulfside Market, and Pensacola State College will be on site. Bands on the Beach, 7 o'clock with the Yardlights on Tuesday night.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit FloridaBrightFutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, NewsRadio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
NewsRadio923.
We know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Good morning, 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What did Superintendent Karen Barber say yesterday at the school board meeting in Santa Rosa County about the situation at Gulf Breeze Elementary? And what did the attending parents have to say about what she said? We'll share that with you coming up at 7:10 right now. Traffic on the Fives with John Pickens. John?
No accidents to report right now, but if you're on Davis Highway right in front of the West Florida Hospital, the light is flashing there. So make sure that you slow down through that area so the nurses, admin, and doctors can cross the road safely. Highway 29, I-10, the rest of it looks good. I'm not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Five.
Thanks, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Heading over to Texas, Governor Greg Abbott says the FBI is now tracking down House Democrats that fled the state to stop the vote on redistricting efforts. Texas Democratic lawmakers, of course, fled to various blue states earlier this week to block the vote. Some shared skepticism on whether the FBI even has the jurisdiction to force them to go back to Texas. The UN calling for Israel to halt its planned military takeover of the Gaza Strip. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights released a statement saying that Israel, quote, must bring its occupation to an end as soon as possible. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer also condemning Israel's plan. And OpenAI has launched its most advanced AI model yet, GPT-5. The company said yesterday the new model of artificial intelligence is smarter, faster, and more useful than previous models, particularly across domains like writing, coding, and healthcare. They also say GPT-5 has a lower hallucination rate than previous models. I'm not quite sure what that means.
Well, that's when it'll invent facts. That means it gets stuff wrong and makes stuff up. Like we were talking about a minute ago, that it'll invent their medical AI will just invent body parts, or at least did one time. And also their ChatGPT is apparently giving teens advice on how to hurt themselves and how to more effectively do drugs and how to get away with stuff to hide it from their parents, So that's bad. so now it's just doing that more effectively,
sure, yeah.
Apparently. David, thanks so much for the update. 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Somebody texts in and says, actually, I love the way he wrote this because it's true. He's a very liberal listener. And he says, we fight all the time on chatting. We chat back and forth all the time. He says, and I read his texts a lot, too. A lot of my fellow leftists, I love that somebody describes himself as a leftist. He served in the military, too. He's a veteran. A lot of my fellow leftists are offended that AI lacks diversity in what it represents and that it represents diverse populations in negative contexts. But it is drawing on our own source material. It's reflecting back to us who we always were, which is racist, which is always racist. Yeah, and which is part of the problem is the theory is that if you put AI on the case of learning humanity from, say, X, Twitter, oh, God.
Yeah, we don't want the AI to think that that's
terrible.
Us, really.
Terrible.
We really don't.
Terrible. I was thinking about this morning. I'm trying to remember I can't lay my hands on it. It was a news report that mentioned, it was the the woman who was in The Mandalorian, the actress who's now got her contract back with Disney, Giancanaro or whatever her name is. Anyway, and because she said she thought she'd been blackballed for being a conservative, and now she's back working, and so that's all fixed. And the report had said for having right-wing views. And I thought, you know, it's interesting. I never hear news people say for having left-wing views. I never hear them saying, as a leftist.
Right.
So I really am praising the listener here who says, as my fellow left, like he self-identifies accurately as a leftist. I mean, I'm a right-winger, you know, it's not a surprise. But if you're going to use terms, you should use them in a balanced way so that you accurately describe everybody. So if you're going to call people right-wing, you should also be willing to call people left-wing. And if people are rightist, they should be leftist.
Listen on air at night.